I need some help to hand out. Please, come. Come. Okay. We have some new people. We have some old people. Whatever. Yeah. And I gave a handout at the beginning of this on Babylon, on Daniel and Revelation of end time prophecy, and left all of the stuff blank. So now we've covered some of the territory here. So this is filling in the blanks. And if you've got the old one, you could throw it away and continue to fill in with this one. As I mentioned before, probably in prophetic view, your amill, post-mill, pre-mill. Those are the three major ones. There's other views, but the major line groups, denominations, most people would categorize in one of those three groups. Amill, you have the word amusement, no millennial reign. They don't believe that Christ is going to rule and reign on this earth. Post-mill is that the world is getting better, and that Christ is going to come back at the end of the 1,000 years. World War II pretty well did away with that one. However, I have read in the last several years that it's coming back again. I don't know why they're thinking the world is getting better, because we've fought more wars since World War II than we did prior to that. And if you think that Russia is just kind of really doing something, you ain't seen nothing yet. I believe it's really going to come. So I don't think the world's getting better. But the idea of pre-mill is that Christ will come back. He will rule and reign for 1,000 years, and we've covered that. Revelation 20, Daniel chapter 2, Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4, and many, many, many other passages that describe a kingdom on this earth that we have never yet seen. And for those scriptures to be fulfilled, Christ would have to rule and reign. Then we started into the other box there, the tribulation. It's 7 years long. It's divided into evidently 3.5 years of peace, 3.5 years of war, 3.5 years of maybe something good, but then at the end it really falls apart. And we covered the seals, most of them, Revelation chapter 6. Today we're going to look at the trumpets, Revelation chapter 8, and still have the vials, the bowls, Revelation chapter 16. By the way, I found it interesting. I've had a couple of my students here that have come and asked me questions or find out if they had the right answers for some particular things I left just kind of hanging. Now, I'll be honest with you, I don't have all the answers. I'm still studying, I'm still learning, but I have been around for a while and I've had to look some of this stuff up. I listened to a guy last night on YouTube, and 2 Kings are historical books, right? So if that was written historically, they're several hundred years before Isaiah came on scene. But if you were to read 2 Kings, I think chapter 19 and Isaiah 37, it's almost word perfect. So what? Isaiah plagiarized and copied out of 2 Kings. I had to write a little comment, you know, on YouTube, you can do that. Excuse me, but Hezekiah and Isaiah were contemporaries. So if Kings is a historical book, it couldn't have been written hundreds of years before Isaiah lived, because Hezekiah didn't live yet, and he's in 2 Kings. So it's not plagiarism. They were together at the same time, and we'll just leave it at that. You know, sometimes people make statements that they can't back up at all. But they do it because they don't like the Bible, they don't like God. And we're going to kind of cover that this morning. Okay, so Revelation chapter 6. By the way, it's mentioned again, Disney World. I can go to Starbucks and I don't worry about children being indoctrinated. I get a cup of coffee. I may not like the particular waitress because of tattoos or jewelry or whatever, but so. And there's other places that I can go. But Disney World, if you let your kids watch Disney movies, like on a Saturday morning, be very careful, because they are definitely indoctrinating kids. That's a huge difference between just buying a commodity and walking out of a store. And they have come out very much, they are going in that direction, that eventually 50% of their characters are going to be trans, LGBT. Yeah.
Not taking a role with their kids, because before, when we were younger, there was no Disney, there was no cartoons.
Right.
You got up in the morning and you spent time with your kids.
Right.
So the problem isn't them, it's parents. We've got to start taking accountability. You know,
mm-hmm.
If we know it's on Disney, turn the TV on.
Yeah.
And
by the way, the very idea that children are responsible, or parents are responsible to children, the world doesn't like that. They want a public school. They don't like Christian school. They don't like homeschooling. They want to be able to indoctrinate the kids the way they want to go with it. Maybe when I was a kid, that wasn't that big of a deal. I went to a math class. I learned math. But now you go to math class, they'll tell them what you're going to learn. And so on and so on. It's really getting worse, and it's going to get even far more worse, quite frankly. By the way, to me, the LGBT thing, this guy that's a swimmer that claims to be a girl, he's still fully a man, and he's an embarrassment in the locker room for some strange reason. But let me tell you, just because he wants to lie about who he is doesn't mean I would have to lie if ever I meet and talk to him. So when you talk to, if you meet somebody that's, you know, something different, tell them the truth.
Right.
Tell them the truth. Somebody needs to. Okay, Revelation 6. Yeah, okay. I want to start in verse 12. And I behold, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth and of hair, and the moon became as blood. The stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and every mighty man, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, said unto the mountains and the rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? So this is another one of the seals that's going to be open. We didn't cover that last week. Let's see. The sixth seal. The sun becomes black, the moon becomes red. Hadn't happened yet. We have solar eclipses, but they're only just a few minutes long. By the way, when you look at the crucifixion, something special was going on when the moon is black for 3 hours. That's not a solar eclipse, as some people try to say. No, it's something God was doing. And man needs to pay attention. I mean, you ought to be paying attention if the sun suddenly doesn't work anymore. Every mountain and island are moved. Now, out here, you don't even think about that. Flat territory. My wife's just like, boring. We lived out in Hickory. You could see the mountains. I've been up 14,000 feet walking. They dropped us off at 12 And all I had to do was walk 2,000 more feet. It took a while, because I could go from here to that door, maybe, and I had to stop to get my breath, because air is so rarefied. 14,000, and that's still nothing compared to about 29,000 or so Mount Everest. Every mountain is going to be moved. And you don't live on an island. We've lived on an island. And to think that someday that island's going to just shake and go down and disappear. That ought to be frightening. It ought to be. They'd rather hide, though, than repent. You read that passage again. They're saying, hide us. They're going into these caves. Hide us. They're not saying, I better repent and get things right. They don't want to change. Sounds to me like during a time of Rahab. Jericho, shut the doors, lock out the army. We don't want you. They already know that their God, Israeli God, they've walked across on dry sea. They've walked across the River Jordan on dry land. And some other things, been fed for 40 years. They knew all of that. That's a greater God than any of their gods, but they wanted nothing to do with it. And that's the same with these people here. And if you look around the world, you're seeing that kind of attitude displayed over and over again, more so than it used to be, I think. I may be wrong on that, but I know there's always been people kind of hard-hearted things of the Lord, but I see it over and over and over again. Chapter 8. We went through the 144,000. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Isaiah chapter 6, Revelation chapter 4. It gives a description of angels around the throne of God night and day saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. I one time, and I mentioned this before, had a time with some Muslims. There was 11 of them and two of us, and I was one doing most of the talking. The other guy was just sitting there. But I asked these Muslims, what is your view of God? What characteristic would you give? And immediately they said, forgiving. And then after that, they started running out of descriptions real quick. And I said, that's interesting because my Bible uses the word Holy Bible. And I said, your Quran only has the word holy four times. None of those times referring to God. But I said, Isaiah 6, and I read them the passage. Around the throne, night and day, angels, holy, holy, holy. That's a description of God. And in Revelation chapter 4, that's a description of God. And there's others. But night and day, holy, holy, holy. And suddenly that stops. Dead silence. At this point, I think even the angels are thinking, what's going to happen next? They've already seen some of this that's going on, and now they know even worse is going to come. And even in heaven, they're awed at the prospect of what God's going to do in the way of judgment. Now, remember I gave you, maybe some of you weren't here, the example. If you were to take my son, my only son, and you were to torture him and kill him and take a video of it and then send it to me, what do you think I would do? I mean, there's just an automatic reaction there that's going to say, I'm going to hunt you down, and I'm going to make you pay. Well, God himself watched his own son die, and his son died for your sins and my sins and the sins of the world. And the people who want to turn away from that, number one, they've rejected their only hope, but they have also been responsible for the death of Jesus Christ. And so let's not get into arguments of how people die. I've been around people, oh, so-and-so died, and that's so terrible. And I'm like, yeah, that might be, but you're not God. And everybody's going to die. Now, I don't know about you, but I've literally prayed, Lord, I don't want to die in a fire. But guess what? I have no control over how I'm going to die. I don't want to die in a hospital, rack up thousands upon thousands of dollars for my widow to have to pay it off. but I'm not God. Every one of us will face death. And so when these seals are unleashed and when the trumpets and the vials and all of these judgments come down, what are we going to say? God is the one who's in control. Many people don't know this, but Jamaica had a volcano erupt in the 1800s, and the main city, 25,000 people died. All of them. The only two survivors were prisoners, the innermost secure part of the prison, away from the windows and doors of the prison. They're the only ones out of the whole capital city that even survived. God's in control. The first trumpet, chapter 8. Let's see. Verse 7. The first angel sounded, there followed hail and fire mingled with blood cast upon the earth. And the third part of the trees were burnt up, and all the green grass was burnt up. Have you ever seen hail? I think everybody probably has at one time or another, even here in North Carolina. It can be very damaging. It can get very large, size of a baseball even. There's a place in the book of Revelation talking about hail weighing 90 pounds falling out of the sky. So this hail is interesting, but mixed with fire, those are almost two incompatible ideas. But evidently it's going to happen. Interesting mix. The second trumpet. Let's see, verse 8. Second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. Like a mountain. Sounds to me like an asteroid or something like that. There was one, I guess, that went by the earth not so long ago. They said the size of, what, a big skyscraper, or just missed us. They didn't detect it until a few hours just before it went sliding by. With the best telescopes, you never know, even, that we might get hit with this. Have you ever wondered why the moon's got all the craters and we don't? It has to do with the air. The air burns up what comes in at us, a lot of it. But even so, you look at some of the size of the craters on the moon. Those things have missed us. But guess what? There's coming a time when one of them's not going to miss. By the way, fell into the sea, Mediterranean Sea, because that's the only sea the Bible writers would know of at that particular time. But when that happens, a third of the creatures in the sea die. Whoops. Quit punching. The third part of the sea becomes blood. Third part of the creatures of the sea died. Third part of the ships are destroyed. So quite a calamity going on there. And again, God is control. The climate activist people cannot control things falling out of the sky. It's just going to happen. And it's going to kill creatures of the sea and ships. Who's in control of climate change? I think I gave this one out before. In 1948, when Israel got permission to go back and become the country they are now, how is that country described? How would you describe Israel in the Middle East today? A what? It's a wasteland, the desert. But wait a minute. When Moses was going to take the children of Israel in, how did they describe the land then? Milk and honey. Why the change? God said in the Bible, if you forsake me, I'm going to forsake you, and I'm going to do this and this and this. And one of those things was to take away the rain. And evidently, about the time they went into their last captivity, Roman captivity, the rain had begun to stop. And so today, 1,000 years later or so, it is a wasteland. God controlled it, not man. God controlled it, not man. The third angel sounded. Third angel, verse 10, sounded, there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell into the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. This is fresh water now. The Mediterranean Sea is salt water. This is now fresh water. A star fell. How many stars do we have? They've lost track. They numbered them. At one time, in one of those astronomy magazines, you could get a star named after yourself or whatever. And there was a kind of a popular movie where some guy fell in love with this girl, and he got a star named after her. And, you know, the story goes on. But they're numbering them because they don't have enough names. Guess what? God says he knows them all by name. Wow. What a vocabulary. And if you know anything about stars, what we see as stars are like our sun. That's what we're actually seeing. And if, again, if you know anything about stars, our sun, if you were to put them on a piece of paper, would be like a period at the end of a sentence, and there's stars that much bigger than our sun. They like to say that there's planets and people on all of these other stars. I beg to differ. I don't think the Bible teaches that. But they'll never find out because they won't get that far. The nearest star is 4 light years away. Now, do you know what that means? 4 light years away. Light travels at 186,000 miles per second. That's a lot faster than 60 miles an hour. And so if you shined a big light here, it would take 4 years, actually 4.5 years, to get to the nearest star. In other words, if the nearest star were to blow up, go out of existence, it would be 4.5 years later before we would even know that happened. And some of the stars that are at the far reaches, like they say a billion light years away, if they quit shining, it would take a billion years for us to know that it quit shining. Now, wait a minute. Just kind of a sideline. When God created the stars, did man, Adam, know the stars existed?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And the sun and all of that. So guess what? God made this universe with time already built into it.
Amen.
With all of the lights and all of the stars and everything already just absolutely, totally working.
Amen.
Which came first, the chicken or the egg? The chicken. Because there were animals put on the earth. Okay, poisons of fresh water. The fourth angel sounded. The fourth angel sounded. The third part of the sun was smitten. The third part of the moon, third part of the stars. So the third part of them was darkened. And the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. These are things that man cannot control. And God is in power. Well, guess what? Isaiah 24:20, the earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, shall be removed like a cottage. Anything I've ever read talks about the spin of the earth, the angle of incidence, why we have seasons and how close we are versus how far away, and it wouldn't take much for us not to be able to live on this planet. Everything is so there. And, you know, if things are going to change, I think I read the last was maybe 2 billion years from now, they thought maybe the sun might run out of enough energy to be a sun. Okay, so 2.5 billion years from now, I'd have to really worry about that, and I don't think so. But how's this going to happen? The earth is suddenly going to be out of orbit. It's suddenly going to be wobbling. God is in control. It's as simple as that. He'll do with it what he wants to do. Who's in control? God is. And by the way, just on a personal level, because some of this stuff is like, I'm glad I'm not going to be here. We're going to be out of here. We're going to cover that. But I think sometimes we forget, especially with COVID especially with crime and some other things, we worry and we worry and we worry. And 99% of the stuff you worry about, you probably will never face anyway. So why worry? God is in control. And nothing will happen to you or to me or anybody else that God doesn't control. And that sometimes trust. I mean, you know, do we really trust the Lord that much? If you were Job, and one guy came up and said, all of your camels are gone, and he'd barely finished speaking, and then all of your sheep are gone, and then your children are gone. And what did he say? The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There's a man who knew God's in control. And whatever's going on, God's in charge. And we just need to learn to trust him. Sometimes it takes things like that for us to learn that lesson. We sometimes mentally say, yeah, I agree with that. But then when things really turn bad for us, we need to be able to say, yeah, God is in control. And he will only put me through what I can deal with. The demons from the bottomless pit. That's chapter 9. Chapter 9. And the fifth angel sounded, I saw a star fall from heaven, and the earth, and to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there rose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. There came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was as torment as a scorpion when he striketh a man. Sometimes we think of Satan and his demons are free and running around the earth. Actually, there are some that are not. These have been locked away in the bottomless pit until this particular event. Later on, not too far, we're going to cover some that are sealed up in the Euphrates River. In the book of 1st or 2nd Peter, I think it is, it talks about, again, demons that are chained. God knows what we can deal with and what we can't deal with. And so he's in control, and there are certain demons that cannot be released.
A comment. You started your lesson off talking about operations that are occurring in Disneyland. And things that are occurring with the transgender community affecting us all. Are you sure that the demons haven't gotten out of the pit?
Oh. There are a lot of demons. It says a third of the heavens went with Satan. That's quite a few. And how much can one demon do? I don't know how well you read or think some of these things through. I grew up, I never heard of somebody schizophrenic, never heard of bipolar, never heard of all of these mental diseases. And now people do these things, like trying to open a door on an aircraft at 30,000 feet or, you know, weird stuff. And they never suffer any penalty because they're mentally unstable. I think the Bible's got another term for that.
Okay.
Demon possession or oppression, or somehow I think a demon has influenced. And yes, there are many here, but there are more. There are still more that we're thankfully not having to contend with. And I think as America has turned its back on God, God has allowed these demons to come here. If you read missionary stories of the 18th century, when they went to foreign mission fields, demons were very much in the forefront. I mean, they worship the demons. And I've heard and read stories that just absolutely amazing. And even a man that told me a personal story was in Haiti, and he had a dog. So when the dog started howling, it would wake him up. It was a watchdog, but there was nobody in the house, nobody in the yard. And then the freezer light, you know, those little red lights that shows the freezer is on, came off of the freezer and went around the room. And he said, the room got cold. He said, cold enough, we're in Haiti, cold enough you could see your breath. And then somebody sat on the bed. And he said, we didn't see anybody. And he said, eventually we got rid of the dog and all of that stopped. See, we in America are not used to those kind of stories and things, but they're true events. And demons can do that kind of a thing. I think all this UFO stuff, I think demons are behind it. Because anybody I've ever read about who supposedly captured by the UFO, when they got back, went into some really strange religion and didn't draw them close to God at all. And I used to really read that stuff when I was a kid. But yeah, we've got a lot of demons today, and now there's going to be more, and these particular kind come to torment physically mankind. Anybody who has not got the mark of being saved, of being a child of God, all of those who worship and serve the Antichrist. Now, the fifth trumpet, these release of these demons, gets pain and agony, but no death. It says they seek death but cannot find it. Imagine being in such pain, you decide to jump out of a 10-story building. And when you get at the bottom, you're still suffering more pain, but you're not dead. Because that's how I read that. Because that comment seems to be there very explicitly. That people will take a gun and put it to their head and pull the trigger, and all they do is have a bullet hole through their head, and they still have pain, and they're still alive. They seek it, can't find it. Amos chapter 9, verse 3. We'll come back to Revelation, but take a look. Oh, you need to find those minor prophets. They're worth reading someday. Hey, you're going to meet that guy someday. You're going to tell him I didn't have enough time to read your one chapter long book, Obadiah. 9 chapters on Amos. Amos 9, verse 3. And it says, though they hide themselves on the top of Carmel, I will search and take them out thence. Though they hid from my sight in the bottom of the sea, thence will I command the serpent, and he shall bite them. Hide in the bottom of the sea. When that was written, mankind did not have a submarine. I don't know how long you can hold your breath. But one of the things I like to do and love doing with a friend of mine that was in our church, he sold fish. He would go out and spear fish. I would take him out on my boat, and literally we would spend 8 hours on a Saturday sometimes swimming and fishing. And I mean in the water. I'm not back and forth out of the boat. We'd throw the fish up in the boat and get all kinds of fish. But how long can you hold your breath? 1 minute, 2 minutes, 5 minutes max. I think the world record's around 6 or something. I don't remember. How are you going to hide yourself on the bottom of the sea? Well, now we have submarines that, well, they first came out, they compressed air and then would release it into the sub. But now they have subs who make its own oxygen. It takes what you exhale, runs it through this machine, and it comes out like fresh air. And as a little side story, my dad was a brilliant guy, and he did stuff that I still look back and how did he know how to do that? He had this machine that made fresh air. He would take it into a doctor's office where a lot of people would sit and smoke, wait and see the doctor, and it would take the smoke out of the air and give fresh air to breathe. And it's like two electrodes, and you can see a little bit of a spark in there, and the air went through there, and it made us fresh air. He had a captain in the Navy, and this was back in the 60s, early 60s, and we had nuclear submarines. Had a captain that was on a submarine come and take a look at this thing, and what do you think? Should I patent this? Should I try to promote this? And you can now buy that same thing, but not from my dad, because this captain said, "You do not know me. I never came here, and I never saw that." He says, "How do you think we make air for a submarine?" He said, "You shouldn't be able to do this." In other words, it made air. And that's how those subs could stay down. Well, guess what? Here comes these demons, and the submarine crews think they can get away from them. And God says, not going to happen. Don't care where you go. Everybody will be affected by these demons that come out of the bottomless pit. Though they be hid from my sight in the bottom of the sea, thence will I command the serpent, and he shall bite them. So even in a submarine during this time, there will be no relief from what God is doing. And you would think people would repent. Nope. No escape. Six trumpets sounds. Verse 13. Sixth angel sounded, I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which is the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed and were prepared for an hour and a day and a month. And here we go. These angels, these demons, get out to slay the third part of men. Well, we already had one seal that killed off one fourth, so in your mind, split a pie into four pieces and one piece is gone. So now there's three parts left, and now the third part of men's going to die. So at that point, half of the world's population is going to die, all within this seven-year, three-and-a-half-year period probably. That's 3.5 billion people that are going to die. You would think some people would notice. Yeah, they will. The river Euphrates, I don't know again what your geography and history is, so I went looking it up. If you look carefully to the far left, you see Jerusalem, that's Israel down there. The Euphrates River is that blue winding part, major river. Okay, that's where it's at. And it's going to be dried up eventually. We'll find that in a different verse, a different place, but here, these are released for a specific reason, to kill people. If you're attacking from the north, the river is in the way. It's 1,740 miles long, according to my investigation. And 200 or 300 yards wide at places, 16 to 20 foot deep. Average speed of the river is about 3 miles per hour. In other words, you can't walk across it. You have to have a bridge or the river to dry up. And again, looking at it, if you're attacking from the north and the east, if that river dries up, yep, they can walk across. So these demons are in that river. They get released for this particular time. All of history, they've been locked up. And did I just turn this thing off? Okay, that makes sense. Unrepentant men will die. Not part of the trumpet judgments. Revelation 16, 12. That's where it mentions the fact that the river would be dried up. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates. The water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. Now I think we're done. Okay, so we've gotten through most, but not quite all of the trumpets. Like I said, starting in chapter 4, going to about chapter 19, the view is from heaven. We are taken out, I haven't covered that yet, on the rapture, but we're taken out, and all of these judgments are put upon the earth, the unsaved people. There will be people saved in the tribulation, 144,000 for one. And others, but they're not saved prior to and are left behind. If you're saved, you go You won't be here when all this stuff happens. And I will say this, if I'm wrong, and I could be, but if I'm wrong, if God could take care of 1 million people through the desert for 40 years, feed them, clothe them, and everything else, then he can take care of us. Again, God is in control. So, but I understand Scripture, we're not going to be here. Okay? Let's close in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the Word of God. You have